Salem Rural Planning Board, Monday, January 28th, 2019.
Well, good evening, everyone. We'll call the meeting to order. This is the Town Rural Planning Board for January 28th, 2019. We'll go ahead and get started with a review of our minutes from December 17th, 2018. Give folks a second to refresh yourselves on those and ask if you have any additions, any deletions, or any corrections to this.
I'll have a listen to it.
Trish, you've been warned, read what I've been warned to refresh.
Trish, on page 251 in the first paragraph, I think it was Mr. Bouchard that was abstaining because he was not here in December. I think I voted yes. And then at the end of page 2155, what I said, which I think misunderstood me, was talking about emphasizing training the board. Okay, Mr. Anderson, the town board, himself, the board member, and Mr. Martin encouraged the board to vote in favor of the meeting. Mr. Anderson would like to go to both, which I was talking about the federation planning. That was the other training that I was talking about that's in April. That sound about right, Chip?
Yep.
That has the two changes that I did.
Any other edits to the December minute? Motion
to accept the minutes as amended by me.
With all session.
Motion to accept the December 17, 2018 minutes as amended. And a second by Reed. Any further discussion? Not too controversial. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? I shall concur. Motion carries. And with that, we'll go ahead and get started with our first item tonight is a site plan review, concept overview, I guess we call it tonight, for Skimmerhorn Real Estate Holdings at 60 to 66 Sisson Road. For folks as well tonight, if anybody has a question or would like to offer some additional information to the board, for record-keeping purposes, we'll ask that you please state your name and your address so that we can maintain an accurate record. So with that,
good evening, Travis Mitchell with Environmental Design Partnership, here representing Rich Skimmerhorn tonight. As you know, Rich usually attends these meetings with me. He's out of town or he'd be here. I'm sure he'll be here at future meetings. As the chairman mentioned, this is probably a conceptual review. We're not at any type of preliminary site plan yet. Just working through the details and thought we'd put it in front of you to get some initial feedback. So here's an aerial view of the general area. Got the site outlined here. About a 17-acre site. This is Route 9, just for some context. Blue Ridge Road, and Sisson up here. It's in the town's UR residential zone. There is in that zone outlined on the site, again, 17-acre site. In that zone, 5,000 square feet per unit, taking out the wetlands, 16 acres, we're at about 139 permissible units. Our conceptual layout that we've submitted to you shows 100 units. You'll see, let's get a little up here, and see a little bit closer scale. Again, this is Sisson Road here, two entrances off of Sisson. Moved from the rear, we've got some stormwater schematically shown up front. Central garbage disposal, mail kiosk out here. Typical of some of the other four units, rental units that have been approved over the last 10 years or so in the town. turn around, I'm just turning on one layer of light here.
Word policy.
Yeah, right. So same map, just overlaid on an aerial, just so you can see how it relates to some of the surrounding properties a little bit. We've got the utility room along the southern property line here. Again, this is two entrances on Sisson. And this to the north is the Sisson Reserve Park Complex. So here are your two, just this next slide, just again, you get a visual on it. The two entrance locations here and here, just a street view from the street. So this is that southern entrance location, wooded out to the Sisson right away, power lines to the south there, and then that northern entrance here. Just expanded scale, here's the project, and here is the Bluebird. It was a Harrison Quarry project that was approved maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It's built out now. Same style unit. That had around 130 maybe in there versus the 100 that's here. So similar scale project and very similar in the way of the deal. This is a photograph of that project under construction. It's not fully landscaped out yet, obviously, like it is now. I went through Mr. Martin's staff notes, and most of them relate to the fact that these aren't detailed plans, and of course, as the plans are detailed, we'll have those items covered. We did initiate a traffic study, which I just got back the other day. I didn't have any time to submit to you, or even really get through it myself, but certainly for next month, we'll have that submitted for you. Some of the key staff notes I just wanted to talk about quickly tonight is the discussion of some alternative layouts to improve aesthetics. We did take a look at a few different stylings. Mr. Schermerhorn is a partner, that's what he's going to do here. We did take a look at different style units, some of the bigger units, some of the smaller units, and felt, with the way these are market having, the way they lay out on the site, we like this four-unit townhouse style complex. This site, just the way this natural drainage course comes through here, there will be some nice rough drainage course, whatever we want to call it, will be some nice buffering from the road as far as that goes. The first building here is shown 300 feet off the road, and the end of the building up here is 500 feet off the road. So, what else is parking. So the code requires 1.5 spaces per unit. We're at 3.25 now with our initial layout, which is solely based on the experience with these units. We've got plenty of them developed now in the area, and Rich has a very good feel for where he thinks he needs the parking. So that's how this layout was derived. Fencing and screening, again, I think we can certainly look at it as we get the plans detailed, but I think with the buffering off the road that we're going to have, I think we'll be in pretty decent shape there as far as any screening goes. Lighting, of course, again, as these plans are developed, we'll do a full photometric that shows the lighting on this property in no additional increase of property lines, and you can cut off luminaires and all the standard lights that are used. Utilities, there's water and sewer in Sisson Road. We'll have to approach the town board for extension of those districts to cover the property. But again, it's one of those things we need to go to first. So I think in the past, we've come to the planning board first and then gone to the town board for those extensions. But I don't anticipate with this size project that there'll be an issue with it. But that I haven't been to the town board yet for it. So with that, can I open it up for any questions from the board?
Or any
questions or comments?
Design and space for snow control?
Yeah, so and we can show it. Sometimes in the past we've shown, specifically where would be bought at. It's something that Rich is always pushing us for is to make sure that he has an ease of plowing, he plows in himself, so it's something that he's certainly conscious of, and before we're done, he'll handle us on making sure that we've got a place for the snow, so.
I'm assuming we've got your own pump stations and maintain your own.
Yeah, it's a fourth thing, so it will either be a common central pump station that will be private unless the town wants it, that's how they've been setting them up, you know, they have the ability to take it if they want.
Yeah.
Or with this number of units, it may be, you know, it may be shared grinder pumps, you know, maybe a grinder pump, we could probably put three units on each grinder pump. So with this little smaller size site, it may make sense to share grinder pumps.
What is the little set of stations?
What is your Harrison Quarry? Harrison Quarry is a central pump station, and you remember that's shared with another project that hasn't been built.
Yeah, okay.
So, that's the difference there.
Thanks.
Yep.
Travis, based on the experience of their units that Mr. Schimmer has met, what do you think the population of 100 units will be? 200 people, 300 people, 150 people?
Yeah, you know, he will have those numbers right to the exact, you know.
Well, maybe there's a question.
I can ask him, because he can.
Sure, that would be just curious.
Yep.
And then school bus would be at the kids would come out to the road.
Typically, yes, but I could, you know, but there's something else that we'll do is discuss, you know, this with the school, and as we've done in the past, we can predict based on existing units exactly how many school-aged children are expected here, so.
That might be a little bit of a different situation than, like, your Uber trips and all, since those roads out to system are pretty long there, so mm-hmm. that
ain't long. And that's an arrangement that they may be able to take up with us.
I looked for a legend, I didn't see it. I'm going to assume the shaded area near the stream front and back is like a wetland shading.
So
with that said, you've got a patch right there. Yeah. Is that wetlands?
Yeah, so there's wetlands here.
Okay.
Wetlands here and wetlands here. Yep. And we got those delineated last fall. We've got full total boundary on that, so we'll be able to quantify the impacts. Armicles.
That was just so that where the wetland on shore, we're looking at pretty much. How far do you want the property go, right? Where the top hole stops, that's where the boundary is based on that?
The boundary of the property?
Okay. Oh, there
yeah,
you go.
So let me see if I've got that. Yeah, so the property, what you were looking at on that last screen stops right about there. The property actually comes to back here, another utility. I don't know, some type of utility that I have to look up to see what that is.
So it would down the same, would it?
That's correct. Yep.
And the upper left corner, that's the school, correct?
Upper here? Yes.
Yeah, the school there.
And who owns the big open property that's in between that?
Just to the right of the school.
To the right of that.
This? That's Leon. That's the Leon Lee project that Skimmerman owns.
Yep. That Skimmerman owns.
That's correct. Yep.
So you built there too, right? Also?
That's correct.
So he's buying this chunk of property, so he can kind of like join all three together.
Sir, can I get a name?
Oh, I'm sorry. Right? Douglas Dickinson, 68 Sisson Road.
You don't have to stand.
Oh, it's me.
And I
live on the upper left right hand corner of the top row going in.
James.
And how wide is that road going to be going in there?
He's going to friend it. Yeah, fine.
Because
you don't know the slip and there's 24, so two 12 foot travel lanes, 2 feet of wind curve, also 28 feet at Haven.
Stop, so not down the conference hall there.
So the road's only going to be 20, it's going to be 28 feet?
The pavement width is typically 28 feet down the
east. And where would you pick up your water line from? Would it come off Sisson Road or would it come off Eber?
We'll likely want to do a loop through here, I would guess. So we'll probably would
yep.
Prefer
it.
But it looked very good.
Right at it.
Travis, could you go back to that aerial you had of the wider area? Is there any opportunity for some sort of, now that we're seeing this all develop as three parcels of a roadway interconnect, given the fact we have the same property owner on all three? And also, the other thought would be a shared recreation center, given the the school age population of the people in these apartments. There's usually a high concentration of children. Is there any opportunity for a shared recreation site?
Yeah, which one's the third?
Oh, I'm sorry, just the two then. But between those two then.
Yeah, and you know, something that we talked about early on, but I think just, you know, there were some wetland challenges here that we don't want to increase any disturbance on, and you know, the way this comes through here, we decided that, you know, they were really two separate products, and just made me stand alone and not connect them together. As far as the any type of recreation facility, it isn't something that we considered. I don't think you know, necessarily.
I was thinking something maybe on the property line, you know, that could be jointly used by both projects or something like, you know.
Yeah, it's something we can take a look at. I think with these projects, people are usually surprised by the lack of school age children in them, but we can get the statistics and take a look at it. That will make sense.
You know, in the back of the homes, we're going to have some sort of a natural buffer. So the sort of those homes on the Sisson Road, don't see the apartments. I mean, they're used to the woods and things like that down in there. Is there a way to leave a natural, just what nature is right now?
Yeah, and so as these are detailed out, we'll certainly show, you know, that the, you know, where any grading will be, what vegetation is left, and as Mr. Martin pointed out, we'll look at any additional screening that needs to happen or fencing. I think this one, I mean, we've done several of these now. I think this one has the advantage that it will be separated from the road by, you know, more than the unique yard.
And do I have to say that again?
No.
And what would be the setback from the brook, from the first house?
Yeah, you know, Army Corps doesn't have a specific requirement, but we're in probably 30 to 40 feet, and, you know, there certainly couldn't be any grading or disturbance in the wetlands without
we'd have to put a culvert in there, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yep, and it'll have to be permitted through the Army Corps.
Because it is a brook down, huh?
Yeah.
And what's the percentage of wetland that's in there, right, in that crop, in that?
Yeah, you know, I think we calculated about an acre, a little over an acre, acre and a quarter.
Because it just don't run down the line, like you say. It runs back and forth in that property from when I was talking to the engineers who were in there doing the layout.
Yeah, so you can see there's some shading in here that follows the brook.
It goes, they run, and that's part of it, and it winds back up.
Yeah, and then back here.
So it is quite a bit of wetland.
Yeah, it's about an acre and a quarter.
So if that goes up, you're going to have to raise that property up, correct?
You know, you can see by the topographic relief, there's quite a bit of relief down to that wetland. So, not necessarily, but that's certainly the next step, is a detailed grading plan to determine exactly how we'll grade.
Yep. Travis, have you done any soils work yet?
Not yet, it's something on the list, but, you know, given everything else we have in a row, it's been difficult, I'm sure.
Water table of my house is like 3 feet deep.
Mm-hmm. These are slabs.
Yeah, slabs.
Yep. Travis, next to that one wetland, the interestingly shaped one, there's a structure that's listed just to the right of that that says swale. Is that an existing, or is that something that you're
proposing? Where are you looking? Here?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it would be something that's existing.
Right. That goes over underneath your road, and it's got that same color, that shading. So is that what
it's worth it? Yeah. So, you know, that would be, you know, obviously wherever we disturb it will be permanent through Army Corps.
Is the access road intended to be maintained by Skidmore Horn or dedicated to the town?
These are typically you try to maintain.
In regards to the road, fence for 163, whatever. How do you determine that when you say you do a traffic study? What do you base it? What kind of information are you providing? I guess what I don't understand when you do traffic studies, it seems like they go nowhere. You got an improvement for another development on Harrison Avenue, which doesn't exist. Just the land is clear. So from a timing standpoint, I mean, when you put all this stuff together, is these traffic studies include all of that?
Yeah, what the traffic engineers do, you know, they're dealing with projects that have been approved and aren't built, and then have been approved and are partially built. And so what the town
town has done is typically, you know, we've updated, we've taken the study that was probably, you know, first one was done 15 years ago that I was involved with, and for each project it gets updated. So we'll update it to reflect, you know, the newer projects that weren't on the board at that time, and those that have been built out, they'll redo their trip counts, and they'll redo their projections. They use a certain percentage of background growth.
If you can't do a trip count, so you
well have the facilities. So they'll update the trip counts every time, which will then capture the last projects that weren't built.
And how do you address squeeze points?
Excuse me.
How do you address squeeze points? I mean, do you look at the Northway entrance on Route 9? I mean, there's a traffic jam now that builds up during working hours. So you introduce this part. I mean, do you follow the roads like from Sisson Road? If I was working down in Saratoga, I'd probably go down Sisson, down Fort Everett Road on 197 and into Route 9 and then into the Northway. So how do you, is that all put together when you do a photo traffic study?
Yeah, so the traffic engineer will do an initial study. The board will take a look at it with the town engineer and determine if they would want to expand it at all, if they're comfortable with it. You know, part of the traffic studies are based on as much real data as they collect at the time, also based on statistical information and projections. One of the challenges with traffic is it's so subjective. You know, what feels like a busy intersection to you may not be a busy intersection to somebody else.
Well, you got to look at, I assume you look at peak point.
Yes, peak hour.
Point. Right, the four corners there, for Fort Everett Road and Mover Road. Now, that's a pretty busy intersection when you get at these peak times.
Yep, and so there are certain standards and protocols by which the reports put together. The applicant's engineer, not many people, we'll subcontract that work out. We'll put together a traffic study. The town engineer will review it and either comment on it and ask for more, or
I mean, the other thing, of course, is the school buses and that kind of stuff, still all in the same area. It's pretty condensed in there. And those aren't very, I guess, they're not the county road, the town road, which seem to be a lot more small. And that was, and when you were talking about wetlands, when they did the Session Reserve there, they drew in a lot of soil when they did that. Do you anticipate that from the elevation of your areas of drawing in a lot of additional soil?
Yeah, based on what I know about it right now, no, but you know, the next submission will have that level of detail.
Yeah, because it was considerable, if I remember right. That's all the wetlands pretty much in surrounding that area.
I'm not familiar with the system.
On the other side of the power line, there were Bontiski says.
Yeah,
between there and Luther,
so I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is very highly schematic. I mean, I noticed that even on the untrained eye here. I mean, around Building 9, for example, you know, you've got the one corner of that building touching one of the delineated points of the wetland. The grading for that's going to be
sure.
Tight. Same way with the parking for Building number 5. You know, those are going to be pinch points in the grading plan. I don't know, you know how that all that grades out. Have to see.
So one more question. In regards to sewer, I really don't. Do you own the sewer line in Sisson Road?
Does Kermore own the sewer line?
Yeah. The town owns that? Now, is that the line that feeds in from Industrial Park? That feeds in? And is the capacity of the Industrial Park, how does that capacity of the Industrial Park, what it was built for, how do these different areas add up to that?
I can. The town has a capacity, purchase capacity from the Glens Falls Sewer Authority, and so that's.
If the industrial park was full today and meeting its maximum capacity, would there be capacity for these developments on the existing line as it stands today? That's my question.
That's a good question. But the answer to the question is,
the town has purchased a certain amount of sewer capacity, and the town, if they needed to get more, they purchased more possibly.
I'm not talking about more to purchase. I'm talking about the capacity of the pipelines.
The board has told us that they have enough capacity.
Who has told you?
The board.
How about it? All right, so
you talk to Supervisor Kuzniers about it.
No. I'm asking the question, who has those figures? I've never seen the figures.
There's a legal contract that you could foil. I've seen it. And it tells you the numbers, so how much.
Well, when you do these developments, if somewhere there's a pipeline tow that's got a capacity.
Correct.
And right? And that industrial park has a capacity. If you start stealing that capacity from the industrial park, then I would think there's an issue.
I think
what Ron was trying to say is that's through the town board. You would have to ask them that.
But it's all based on engineering figures.
Correct.
All right. So, and I guess that's what my question.
And the town would know what the capacity of the.
I mean, when you do a development like that, I would think that is a key factor.
Well, that's part of that's the town board's purview for this. So when you heard Travis say before that he hadn't yet approached the town board for water and sewer connection for the extension of the
district. So the sequence is this is a preliminary just to get thoughts.
Correct.
The next step would be to go to the town board for looking for those specific.
Yeah, on the agenda, when you see, for example, in this case, Travis indicate that this is a conceptual site plan. It's really just to give the board a level of awareness, start to give them a sense for some of the things that the board might need more information on, so that when he comes back or when he and Mr. Schumer.
Because like the sewer line on the corner of Fort Edward Road and Bluebird Road, that comes all the way down Bluebird. So that's part of that that group of apartments.
Correct.
So that's all flowing to that one area.
Correct. Right.
Now, those lines, again, belong to Skimmermore?
No.
So somebody that's living on that road could go onto that system?
Yes. Yeah. Also, system reserve goes into that system.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't quite understand what's there. Yeah.
So, and also, before that, this property would be able to go online, the authority would agree to that they have the capacity to do it. There's a mechanism. It's just not, let's hook up and see what happens. It's all figured out and okay before anything gets approved.
Well, I think the point's well taken. There has to be an engineering review done at the time Travis has some real numbers of their planned use. You know, what are the upstream users and what was the reservation made for those upstream users? That's got to be maintained because I think the comment's well taken. You can't exceed the capacity of the pipe in the road because then the whole thing's going to back up. So that's what type of analysis has to be done, but we don't even know a flow rate yet or volume. Until we know that, then that's got to be submitted for engineering review to make sure that the system is not overloaded.
I guess what I would think is that, and again, I'm sure this is the board's decision, but even if you have an industrial park there that doesn't have much there, but it has a capacity that is
right. There's a reserve. There's a reserve set aside.
It's going to be paid for.
Right. Okay. And we have to make sure that, you know, that there is, at the same time, there is excess capacity in that line above and beyond what's in reserve.
Exactly.
And we have to make sure that, you know, the allocations are there.
And I encourage you to talk to the supervisor's office because he has had meetings with Glens Falls because of all the projected things going on, and he would be the best person to discuss it with. But it's been being thought out.
See, I think an important point, and I tried to imply in my notes, even at this early juncture, I think what Travis is looking for, if I'm in his shoes, is the board comfortable with this overall layout, and are you comfortable with the density? Or do you, you know, I think that's what he needs to arrive at so they can start detailing this design in these ways.
As far as the utilities go, we certainly understand we have to go before the town
right.
For all those detailed answers, we have to start somewhere. So, you know, hopefully we will certainly have that in front of the town board. I don't know who was next. I'm sorry.
Hi, I'm Karen Castle Pines. I'm a road. And I think I speak for many of my neighbors as myself. There's a reason that we purchased property in the town of Moreau as opposed to the village of South Lemon Falls, because we appreciated the space and the quiet. I have my grandchildren. We bought the house to retire there. I like to walk with the kids and the dogs. At another, Sisson Road does not have the capacity or the width that Bluebird and Harrison Avenue have. It's a narrow road, and to take another 300 cars a day is insanity. And then it'll be, oh, well, it's not working, so let's steal your front lawns. I am vehemently opposed to this. If they already have property on Harrison Avenue, let them develop that. Let them go to Wilton, Saratoga. This is too much congestion. I haven't heard anybody mention any discussion with the school district and what the capacity of those two elementary schools are. If they already own the property on Harrison, that could burgeon Harrison Avenue Elementary already. And there will be some children in this development that would, at this end of the road, be more likely to go to Moreau. And I think it's just pushing a burden on everybody else for their gain. And none of the neighbors I've spoken to are in favor of it.
Okay, for part of the process, as we go along, we get involved in what's called secret. And when we do the secret review, notification is sent to the school district. We're asking for their input from the last school. Applicants also meet with the school district if there's anything that they would need tweaked for their input. So the school district is ahead of everyone else on this. You don't see them, but they get everything by the mail, and then we sit down and meet with them and to make sure that the education system can support what is being proposed. Is it going to happen? Yes. The meeting will happen. Anything else I can't tell you. This gentleman, when the industrial park was created, the sewer system was designed for that, and then they got a little bit smart, and as we're going to increase the pipe capacity, there's a field of future development, and that came up with a certain larger size of the need for the industrial park. What they're going to have to do is go back to the engineering, and with the projects that are there, the projects that are proposed, will the size of the piping, will take it to Glens Falls, is it going to be adequate, or is something going to have to happen? This project kicks it in and won't take it. A, the project doesn't go, or B, they may put a new park. That's engineering has to be done, and nothing to do whatsoever with capacity. Glens Falls is looking for capacity, and yes, can you accommodate this in your plans? They'll tell us yes or no, and they've already said, we'll take all you can give us because they need money. But whether the infrastructure in the ground is adequate at this point will be determined by the engineer, and all of the studies are now in the town.
So, to tie a great point, thank you, Peter. A couple of those points together as part of our secret review, which would happen at subsequent meetings, perhaps the next one, that should be determined. These are pieces of information that the board will use as part of our overall assessment. What does the school say? What does the traffic study say to us? What does the engineering report look like in terms of the infrastructure and the ability to convey to the city of Glens Falls? These are all pieces of information that the board will use as part of our deliberation, as part of the secret and the site plan review. Use that to make an informed decision about how we move forward. Yeah.
Karen Castle Lines again. Between Bluebird Road and the quarry on Sisson Road, it's 0.6 miles, and there's 26 single-family homes. Now, just because we're small in number, I don't think our investment and our quality of life should be ignored for someone else's financial gain. I don't think that would be responsible of the town to do that to us.
And these are also points that we'll want to make sure we air when we get to the point that we have a public hearing. We're not at that point tonight. This is basically a sketch plan review. But public hearing submissions for the record is also when we'll be looking for feedback and input. The other thing to mention and point out is the zoning associated with this parcel permits this use. So what that means, when you, I don't know if you were here when Travis first gave his opening remarks, but based on the zone that this sits in, which is what we call a UR zone, it would permit up to 159 units on the site based on the density, and that's why we're requesting 100 units. Mr. Martin also commented to the board in his staff notes that we would want to take a look at the overall layout, discuss with Travis the density. Travis had mentioned we might want to look at some alternative layouts of a couple of the units to look at that density. So that's also part of our review, looking at the overall density. Right now, he's well below what's permitted for this type of use, but this is a use that is permitted in that area.
My name is Christine Merrill. I live at 103 Sisson Road at the dead end next to the quarry. Mm-hmm. My husband Tim and I have lived here for 30 years, and we are adamantly opposed to all of these apartments that have sprung up all over. It's very disheartening that apparently it seems that the town of Monroe has no plan in place. Like the town of Queensbury has been very thoughtful about the way they develop their town, and that when somebody like Mr. Skillerhorn comes in and plans a big project, they are required to purchase and donate space for open space and park development. One example of that is up on the corner of West Mountain Road and Gurney Lane, where he built, I think it's a senior living complex, 55 and older. And in that situation, Mr. Skillerhorn assisted the town and the Queensbury Parks and Recreation Department in developing a beautiful trail called the Rush Pond Trail. And it's just a gorgeous facility. And it's very upsetting to me that the town is just ruining the aesthetics of our town, and there doesn't seem to be anything in place to protect open space for our future. Also, it's very disheartening that as a homeowner in a neighborhood of single-family homes, that we're having all these apartments just crop up all over the place. I mean, they look horrible. And that one space on, I don't know how many acres it is, on Harrison Avenue, that's been clear-cut twice now, it's desecrated the whole area. And I want to know, does this board have any concern for the people that own homes there?
So this board...
I'm sorry. I understand that space is zoned for this type of development, but that's not taking our investment into consideration. You know, we don't want this. It's enough is enough. It's overdeveloped now. There's way too much traffic. There's no sidewalks. It's very dangerous walking down Sisson Road and up Harrison Avenue, and there's kids. And there's kids that walk there at night after dark, and there's no sidewalks going back and forth to the school. It's a very dangerous situation. It's not designed for this high-density development.
And we definitely don't want you taking our front lawns to widen the road and put in sidewalks. So believe me, we're not asking for that.
Right.
So a couple of points I'll just try to respond to, because, again, we're not in a public hearing tonight to be able to help to bring a lot of these points into the overall decision for the project. These are very valid points, which are good. Some of them need to be aired to the town board, and here's why. This board, you're talking to everybody who lives in the township, so a lot of the concerns that you share, if you were to poll these board members, they would probably speak to similar things. The code right now that we're going to review this project against, that's our handbook. That's our tool that we use to say, does this project comply with the code or not? That code is a prescription that is released to us by the town board. So the town board right now, you may have read in the paper, is in the midst of going through a comprehensive master plan, which then would lead up to the rewriting of that code. What's the book?
I have one right here.
That's our plain building code that we use to review this project to say if it comply or not. When it gets to the point of wanting to have a conversation of what is a permitted use or not, does the zoning or the density allow for a particular project or not, or should it allow for a particular project or not, that's what sets the tone for that. So if there is a group of folks that are concerned that would like to see that change, evolve, or be written into the new code that's going to be drafted, then those are items that the town board needs to hear about so that they can take them into consideration when shaping the new code. Right now, again, as a planning board, this is a permitted use in this zone, and therefore, unless the town board were to give other direction to the planning board for projects like this, we would use our current code to review this project.
So in your current code, there's no plan for preservation of open space. You're just going to develop every inch of the town. It looks horrible the way it's
going to develop. If I could add on to Ron's thing, he just explained to you, there is a plan.
Okay. For preserving open space?
Give me a moment. There is a plan. The plan is our code, our zoning code. Right now, we're redoing the master plan. We'll be rewriting that code. I've been on this board for over a decade, and we've had a number of these projects come up, and 30 or 40 people come, and they get angry, and they yell, and all, and we tell them, go to the town board, ask them to change the zoning. Now, you said you had your home for 30 years. This has been zoned for this kind of development, I believe, for that whole 30 years. And maybe finally reaching that, where it's starting to be developed, okay? But it's been allowed for that time. Water came in and sewer came in. That made it easier to build a lot of apartments. Okay. You brought up traffic and schools. Okay. Just like you, every year I go and vote at the school budget, I hear about how tight they are for space and how they need to expand and all, but every time we send a project to them, they go, oh, yeah, welcome. It'll be fantastic. And that's what they tell us. Okay. On top of that, We talked to him about the possible number of kids there. Rich Skimmerhorn, the first project that he did in front of us, he said, you know, my experience is there aren't a lot of kids. And I'm like, yeah, okay, he's blowing smoke.
Absolutely.
All right. So I made it a point to go by Bluebird Terrace at school pickup time. Now, I don't know how many apartments are at Bluebird Terrace. 240 apartments, there were 8 kids waiting for the school bus.
But they're transient people. Just because there's only 8 kids one day doesn't mean that that's going to be the same a month from now.
How many pickup parts?
So Clearview Motel is transient. Okay? 1-year lease apartments isn't completely transient. It's certainly it's more transient than home. I get that. But it's not completely transient. Alright? And I'm not defending more, you know, thick and size on this project. I'm just trying to explain to you. We do have a process. If this gets approved for development, Mr. Skimmerhorn will be required by the town to pay a certain amount of money towards the recreation fund. That wonderful Moreau Town Park that you enjoy.
My point is that we do have it.
You mentioned the trails that he paid for up in Queensbury.
We're trying to make that park. To preserve open space in our area where we're being impacted.
That could also be included in the zoning. You can talk to the town board and ask. But my point to you, because that money doesn't have to go to that municipal park, it can be used for trails. My point to you is we do have a plan to follow. We may not like it. You may not like it. As Ron said, there's maybe a lot of us up here that would agree with you. You can look at the record, have been telling people, when you leave tonight, make a point to schedule a visit to the town board to tell them change this zoning. But nobody apparently does.
I've been before the town board before, and I get nowhere.
No
help at all.
Okay.
But the
point is what we were explaining is that's where you have to make those arguments. We have to follow the rule. The code, because Mr. Skimmerhorn, if he does move forward with this project, is also a property owner in your neighborhood. And he's following the law. He's following our code. In fact, this project actually is well below the density that's allowed. So it's hard for us to go, yeah, you're under the density, so no. Okay? I mean, if he was trying to push the density, we could say, no, you can't go more than this. I myself happen to think it's a little too dense over there, but I have to follow the code. I'm not allowed to make my own rules here. So.
Is Mr. Skimmerhorn going to live on Susan Road? That should not.
Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, Dave Johnson, 251 Fort Edward Road. I'm just here. I guess I'm a little late getting here.
in terms of the process.
No, you're not. This is the first time that this board has seen this project right now.
Right. You know, so what you're telling us is you can only apply code what he wants to do. You have no ability to say, okay, there's going to be a moratorium on development.
No, you can't.
That's correct. We can't. It's only the board.
The town board has that jurisdiction. Okay. Has that discretion. If you wanted to, if the town wanted to have a moratorium on these types of projects, the town board would be
I live right diagonally across from the big thing on Bluebird Road. You're now developing, Michael's group is now developing the old Solberg farm, which was Mr. Skinborn's. And I moved here 20 years ago, and the development that is taking place here is changing the whole complexion of our community. And I get their frustration. I knew this was coming eventually, but it just seems that maybe not you, maybe the town board, with all due respect to Mr. Mitchell and Mr. Skinnerhorn, it seems like we sold our soul to him. And all the reasons everyone comes here, that wants to live here, are being erased. And I know he's a Mr. Skinnerhorn's a landowner, a homeowner, just like we are. But that doesn't add wealth to our community. These are like a small home that someone builds and adds value to it and sells it to someone else who does the same thing. All that value, all that money is going pipeline out of our community. But our community is paying for all the services. It's sucking the life out of us. And I don't care what the school says, but I'll send them. I spent a lot of time in the schools. I had kids in the schools for 17 years. I volunteered for a lot of time. And I'm telling you, there's not that much. I mean, sending them is kind of a little bit of an underreaction. I don't want to kill the messengers. Thanks for telling me where to go, but we were told that the traffic wouldn't be bad at the corner. The traffic study said, no problem. They've had three serious accidents that point since that development went in.
And I always like to bring up the Clark Road and Selfridge Road intersection out where I live. At least twice a year, they have a fatality accident there that requires an ambulance or a helicopter. And you'd be lucky if you ever see a car at that intersection. So it's hard to tell just by if there's an accident there. I went through Bluebird and Fort Edward, and I said, there's all these apartments. This is going to be crazy. Why am I coming this way? And it's a four-way stop. And I really kind of expected eventually that was going to have to be a light. Okay? And I got there one morning right about probably 7:30-ish, 7:20, and there were four cars in line. Okay? And when I used to commute to work every day, four cars in line off. Okay? And yet, boom, 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 boom. And it didn't hold me up a whole lot. The traffic studies, I'm a firm believer that every traffic study says no problem. I have yet to see one that is. I'm actually kind of waiting because now with the addition of this, we know we've added or we're adding another 100 homes, okay? Probably another 100 peak travel time trip, but we'll know as the engineers staff it out. I'm waiting for them to hit that because it's got to be a point where this area, they're going to say, oh, there is a problem, but even then, it might be a remediation problem and they say you need to put a light somewhere or need to add a turn lane or something. Okay. So,
appreciate your time.
I mean, it's one of those where we may agree with you, but we have to follow the rules and we have to go through. We can't be arbitrary or capricious in our decisions without risking.
Yeah, and I'll try to sum it up one last time with a strong suggestion of folks that feel the way they feel about these types of projects, the nature of the community or the other characteristics that you feel are going in a different direction. When the town board is reviewing the master plan, be at that meeting.
Now's the time.
Now's the time.
Hey, crew.
With the neighbors, everybody, they come to the door.
Will we be getting,
place to be.
Will we be getting a letter in the mail when these meetings are coming up?
For this project or for the,
this project?
For this project, yes. If you're an adjacent property owner or you're within
500 feet
of this project, you'll be receiving notice of future meetings.
So if you're not within 500 feet where you are, talk to someone who is and ask them to let you know.
We really appreciate your service to the community. It's a wonderful thing that you're doing. It's just about quality of life. And I think that the town of Queensbury and the city of Glens Falls have gone great lengths to try to preserve quality of life for their residents. And I don't see that happening in the town at all.
What I would encourage you to do is... The comprehensive plan is in a draft right now. If you read the article in the paper, it's up for consideration right now. This board worked on it. So did the Zoning Board of Appeals. I was the drafter of that document on behalf of these boards. I think if you read that document, you'll see that there's a pretty strong position in that document about future multifamily housing. It takes a pretty firm stand on it that says... The town's done enough. All right? So I encourage you to read that section of the document because it's in draft right now. If you feel there needs to be different language, stronger language, now's the time to get that on the record.
Is that on the town site?
Yes. It's on the home page of the town's... It's on the home page of the town's webpage. It's been there for months.
But right now it states that the town has done enough as far as developing...
Yeah, I'm.
We're trying.
I'm summarizing that, but that's basically what it says, that the feeling of the community is that there's been enough multifamily development.
Yes.
Well, if this were to get approved, you're talking about this one at 120 and the one over on Harrison at what? One at 120?
This is 100.
This 100?
Those
two boards would already be approved.
Right, yeah, I can't do things about. Yeah, I can't. It can't do things about what is already
correct.
Under the current law. This has been submitted under the current law, so it has to be considered, as the board has been saying. But my point is, you know, the process is in motion to make the changes that you suggest. These things take time. Unfortunately, they don't move as fast as a lot of people would like to see, but I think that's also a good thing. It requires a community input. I can tell you, the new zoning ordinance... is going to start this year. As soon, in state law, you have to have an updated comprehensive plan before you can update your zoning ordinance. So the town's doing that. But I can tell you the new ordinance is going to take at least a year to get through the approval process and to hear from all the people that it should hear from in order to draft it. It's a complicated document. It's law. It's going to take a long time.
So the town board not have the ability to have a temporary stay while they approve that?
Yeah, yes. The town board and only the town board can consider a moratorium.
Right.
Now, that would be a very immediate step, but even this has come in before that, so this has to be considered. But from the date that moratorium is adopted, and as long as the town board puts on it for a time frame, it's usually at least a year, it can be two, and it can be extended, a moratorium would stop it.
What you're saying to me is once the master plan is put together, you're going to rezone the town?
No.
Rezone.
No, not. Once the comprehensive plan is adopted, then we take up the zoning chapter of the code. And we go through that entire chapter and we adjust it as people want to see it, as residents want to see it adjusted.
So you could be rezoning?
Yes.
Yes.
Now,
I
can tell you, in a community like Moreau that's had zoning for a long time, the thought of making wholesale changes to zoning districts and density has to be carefully considered. Yeah, I don't want people leave here, oh, they're going to rezone. No, it's going to be thoughtfully done, and it takes a lot of consideration. It has to be, you know, thought through very carefully, and that's what's going to be done. The town is taking the proper steps. Based on what I'm hearing tonight, the most immediate thing that you can go to the town board is that, you know, we need a moratorium on this for now until these processes have a chance to work their way through. Meaning, the comp plan's done and the zoning ordinance is updated. That would put an immediate stop to these types of applications.
Okay, hang on. We need to do a little housekeeping. So, first of all, is it possible for us to turn that down a little bit?
Yes.
That's very disruptive, thanks. And there's a gentleman that's behind, Mr. Johnson, right?
Me, I was getting ready to give him a verbal name.
Yeah. Okay. Can you do that, please?
Yes. Matt Boucher, 10 System Road.
I've got a litany of things.
Hang on a second, Matt. This gentleman over here was in before you.
Well, I just had a quick question. Zach Davis, 98 System. I just want to clarify that the future public hearings for opposing arguments, opposition, question, concern, that's still to be determined?
Yeah, we haven't done that yet. Okay. Zach, we would, as we move forward, as we get the information that we need in from Travis and Mr. Skimmelhorn for the project to be at the point where we say, okay, we're ready for our seeker review, we're ready for a public hearing, that's when we would set a public hearing, and okay, notices would go out to the community members close to the 500 feet of the parcel so that you could be available to attend that meeting.
And just understand that this board meets on the third Monday of each month except in January and February. So you know next month will meet because of federal holidays, so next month will meet on the fourth Monday. The rest of the next 10 months from March through December, we meet on the third Monday at 7 o'clock in this building, in this hall. So you know that we will meet. It is posted in the local paper that we'll be meeting at 7 o'clock. If you can, basically, other than the fourth Tuesday, January, February, the next 10 months, we meet at 7 o'clock unless there's nothing on the agenda, and that rarely happens.
And Jim, one other thing you probably should bring up for everyone's benefit is that before the comprehensive plan is adopted by the town board, they are required to hear, have a public hearing.
Yes.
And they are required to listen to any comments that you may have concerning that comprehensive plan. That's part of state law that has to happen.
And that has not been scheduled yet.
And just a recommendation, go to the website and read the comprehensive plan. Don't come in with a litany, a list of things that you think are bad. Go find out what is in there.
There's a chapter specifically on housing in the comprehensive plan.
And it enforces your argument if you come in and you have points right out of the comprehensive plan. Okay. I think we all have traffic problems, we all have neighbor issues, but if you can get it right down to detail, it makes it easier for people to make actionable decisions and work with it.
The gentleman in the far right and the right.
Okay, so I live at 10 System Road. I built a home over there myself. I contracted myself and built that about 6 years ago. So I live on the far end down by Fort Edward Road. I've noticed appreciably a difference in traffic coming down as a cutoff and going. Obviously, probably people work that area travel to work, so they cut off and go down like this. I want to give this guy some credit up here in front of me a couple rows. He's had some very good questions, and I think. I'm not sure that everyone sitting here knows you did a good job of explaining your role versus the town board, but things like water main size, sewer main size, legitimate question that he had, and I don't think it was capacity for Mines Falls, and that's interesting that they want more when they keep dumping in the Hudson. But that's another issue. But
that's a whole different board.
That's not exactly true.
It's a very legitimate question. And if you watch the construction when they're putting the water line in for this previous development, on the corner. So just not to back up too far, but the previous building inspector in town Rowe, and I went to buy lots in Rowe to try to build my house. He told me both were the on the corner of Bluebird and Harrison, and where Skimmelhorn's other property is on Harrison that he has built out. I couldn't put a home on him, a single family home on either one of those parcels because it didn't have, I couldn't get a septic in there. And I went away from that meeting not paying attention enough to realize that they were on public sewer. So just to give you some background on how some of the stuff works behind the scenes in the room, not a planning board issue, but this is why people come angry. Because of some of these issues. But back to the traffic. You're not going to get it in a traffic study based on Harrison if they have no homes there, no houses.
no engineer, traffic engineer, is going to put up in a study that this is going to increase considerably based on what we might get for houses in here, or how many cars per home, or anything like that. They can give you a set standard number, but that's not necessarily how it's really going to impact traffic. I drive it every day. I drive down Bluebird, down Sisson to my home, every day, same route. And it is more traffic. I've noticed it, I've watched it, because I have kids.
No, so that's the other thing about the traffic study, too, which, again, this would be something that we would, this board hasn't seen any of that information right yet. Travis is still digesting that himself. But what the traffic study will do is it'll look at what they call levels of service. And it'll place the intersections into different levels of service depending on the volume. It's not to say that the volume won't go up. It's to ask the question of, as the volume goes up, has it tripped a wire, so to speak? Has it reached an appreciable level of service where it requires a correction?
Traffic light or something, but that, that's not solving.
And the engineers really go deep on that stuff. So like when we were dealing with traffic on Route 9, many of us said, we had an engineer in talking about the traffic and said, why don't they make that four lanes? Then you can move cars off the north way even faster. And they said, right. Then it takes a right on 197 and plugs up at Route 32. And then it plugs up. And so they really do go deep into it. Okay. The traffic studies, when they look, they don't just look at, okay, it's Harrison and everybody's going to take a left. They consider all possible intersections. They go out, I think, automatically, and Travis could respond on this. They go out automatically like two intersections. And we can ask them to go further if we wish. And some of it is based on actual trip counts and then based on what's already been approved and how many. And just because there's 100 apartments and they're figuring three spaces for every one doesn't mean that there's three cars that are all going to leave at 7:36 in the morning.
Sure.
So it depends on when they're going and peak hours and how it affects peak hours in other places. I know when I used to live on Route 9, trying to turn left out of my apartment at 7:30 in the morning on a weekday was suicide. It was impossible. Amazingly, it still is. Okay, but I can take a right anytime I wanted to. So it all depends on how people choose to travel and how they work the sites. I was just being smart about the fact that I've yet to see a traffic study where they say no, this won't work.
No, it's valid.
Okay,
and in this case, it's appreciable and you can see it. I'm not here to say, you know, I'm against private business making money, but sometimes it just doesn't make a lot of sense to people in the community. So I would look into that. I haven't heard anybody actually give a number. Does anybody know the main size for the sewer line? Can we know the diameter size that much?
The 12-inch force main.
That's the 12-inch force main?
Yeah. Yep, and the my water major, I got a 8-inch down.
8-inch water.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And with that little tank they put up there, it sets a pretty good pressure down.
Mm-hmm. That was the reason why they put the tank there. Now, in my last issue, because I'm familiar with this one, the school issue with the CCAR, the people here that won't be invited to that with the school. They rely on those things. They comment back, and you're correct. Schools will always say, give us more, because of this raise taxes. Now, I'm a school superintendent, so I know this. So, that's not always the case, but here, you also have to take into consideration, you all live in your public residence, and your focus is that. Sometimes, your parents of your school aren't. They're here for a while, and they're gone. As you just saw, it's up in small school not too long ago, and before that, a couple of years before that. So, they're not necessarily going to be involved in the politics of this process, and they also don't want to discriminate against a particular housing development or builder versus another. So what you get back from that committee, that school signing off on that, I'm not sure that's something that should take that much precedent over what you're doing here, have that much input in what you're doing. I know you have to legally by law, but it's really not something that you're going to get a firm answer on. For example, if you have to send a bus up there for stops and things, you know, with group times, drivers, because they only drive so many hours, they're all on, you know, you can't put, you know, Marola has three or four different start times in elementary school just so that they can save on busing costs. I would be in favor of paying one extra nickel for a tax dollar to go to support a bus stop in any development like this. Just, you know, that may sound wrong, but it's not fair to the community people who pay the taxes on it. I know it's not your issue as a planning board, but it does matter when you're considering the scope of all this. I know the code book, sat on a couple boards myself.
work very, very closely with a volunteer board all the time. I know the time you come in is valid. But understand that. I think you're right, and everybody here should go to the town board meeting. That's where, if that's who has the ultimate control over what happens here, seems a little late in this issue if these are all grandfathered in before any more cars.
The urban renewal just was great because it was sore.
Yeah.
It can't handle the capacity. You can't put this out in the farmland because there's no sewer
right. And
things like that. We have an ag district, which is to protect farmland. Our whole southern part of the town is farm-based.
But I think one, like this woman's, her argument probably would go along with what you're saying. While that is a positive that you have an agricultural district, you have some free range space and keeping open lands for the trails. I read the plan, by the way. So, but her issue is there's none here where she lives. It's all condensed, and it only seems like it's getting more condensed for her on that upper section of Harrison and
Seth. I know it's because the zoning, the
Zorexit permits,
because it means
good for that area. Just because on the map it says, you know, you can take one up, go to your neighbor to the right, or whatever. There's a lot of times they have a residential / commercial zoning for something, and you end up with some buildings that made absolutely no sense in there, but it was in the plan, so it was allowed to be built there. Doesn't, just because it's in there, doesn't mean that it's good for whether you should be approving that at that point. And there are mechanisms in that code book that you can use. So that's my only thing is that, you know, it's early in the process, and I realize you guys aren't the only place to come. But before, you know, they're dumping a bunch of money into all these studies and everything else too, it'd be good to know whether this is something that's going to be definitely considered or not.
And just so the people resident, the second Tuesday and the fourth Tuesday of every month, the town board meets here at 7:00. This week, because of this month, this Wednesday, when the next board meeting will be at 7:00 in this building right here.
Are they good at posting their agenda on the website?
Yes.
Okay.
They do. And they have, you see their previous minutes. And everything is posted because of the Freedom of Information Act and everything. Everything is out there for you to see if you so choose to look.
The agenda is posted on the same day, though. It should be out the day before.
Talk to the supervisor about that.
That could be done. Jarvis, I have a quick question from my notes from last week looking at this. The building numbers, these aren't relevant, right?
Not right now.
That's not how the buildings would be numbered.
Right.
They'll be numbered chronologically for emergency service.
Right.
Okay. I just noticed that they were kind of all over the place, and I didn't.
One of the things we'll do, of course, is take a look at the plan of emergency services and make sure they reach in high position.
I have another question I was thinking. With dog walking, is that part of when you create these kind of places? Is dog walking considered places for people to walk their dogs? I mean, you got a nice walking, you got the rope, but then the dog needs to do its thing.
Yeah. We'll talk to Rich and get him here.
Is that something you've been doing with other?
Yeah, I'm not sure what his policy is on in this particular style unit on pets. So I'll do
that. Okay, that would be an interesting point.
And you won't be putting sidewalks in this at all.
I don't think so, at all.
You'll have the road with the wing.
That's right.
Yeah.
The
question is, where's the power line affiliated with that map? Where is that?
Right on the bottom. That's the power line.
The bottom of the plan.
So
the thing's
going to be built through the power line. I don't know how that's going
to
fit.
The power now comes underground to the buildings now, right?
Yes.
Or any other questions?
Where's the bottom road going to come into? Where's that come from? I know the top road comes in between me and Mr. Cook. Where's the bottom road to actually come into?
Just past the power.
Just past the power.
So in any case, he's going to approach you at the yellow house on the very end, right? Is this road?
Yeah.
How far off the road is it? Probably don't know. How far off that yellow house can you put the road in? Which would be another culvert, or is it broke?
Because why?
You see the yellow on the bottom right-hand corner, that yellow shield Brown building, what's that configuration?
It's showing the mail kiosk right now.
Oh, for yeah. Receive mail.
So the question is, will that, when that road goes through there, will that also have a culvert? I'm assuming that also does, because that's still in that road here.
That'll come out in the grading and drainage plan.
There's a lot of information with the other. So we will work on some of the studies that we talked about tonight. We'll work on reaching out to some of the different folks that we need to put together the detailed plans. Probably the soonest we can in front of you again in March. We won't have that together in the next couple of weeks to make February meeting. So.
You said it's 4 units. It's 2 and 3 bedrooms?
Correct.
Why are you only notifying people within 500 feet of it? It impacts all of us on the road.
That's what the town code requires, is that anybody that's within 500 feet of the proposed project.
But you could, if you felt so inclined, be courteous and notify us all.
The town could do that. If the town board wanted to do that, they could trigger that.
Amending that very same site plan, yes. He should have given you a copy of each so you could compare the two.
All right, that's right.
Yes.
And now, before he starts, is he in compliance presently?
Yes, he is.
Thank you.
There's been some issues. He's been a very steady, gradual...
Board at a time.
He has... It's been... It's been a process.
And before us tonight, we have Don Pigeon and Fred Bartlett.
Yes.
For Christmas. Hello, Mr. Pigeon. Would you like to give us some background information on us? Tell us the story, Peter, what's that?
Tell us the story. Well, here's what we're doing. I gave you two prints, right?
Yep.
All right, now that was a week we had a month. One of the things to do, and the president decided to do, is he take him to the building the other day. And he lays, well, kind of like basically went down to Max Gooseberg, you know, I have to say, waiting for the septic system and stuff like that out there. And we put the driveway over to the west side of that property. And he's still got his employee parking. We've got enough parking to satisfy his added in there, the proposed retail store area, 20 by 20, 400 square feet there. And he wants to access the main garage from the back, the three garage doors there. Access to the side would go in, the east side, near the retail area. He's put this fence up. That is an existing stockade fence that he was supposed to put up. He put that up one more at a time. He got it up. He's doing all right.
Should we be looking at the map that has the Highlander?
Yes.
Well, that's the new.
That's the new one.
Okay.
Yeah.
You should have both of them.
Yes, I do.
You can call me that. Well, they got it all. This fellow over here that had some mattresses out before, is he over there? We decided that Greg said he's willing to put up a metro numbers or something along the property line to shed him out there a little bit, because he won't get a better grip on it.
Yeah, just for the board's knowledge, there has been, person complaining from the residential neighborhood here to the east, and the latest complaint centered around the trees that were cut, and I went out there personally, I checked it myself, and I went out with Matt, our building inspector, and none of the trees that were cut were in the buffer area that was to be maintained, and in deference to the property owner, his decision was that he doesn't like pine trees. I get that. And he took down exclusively pine trees. They were providing a canopy over the hardwoods that he did keep, and he wants those to come up now and flourish. So I understand that. It's within his right. But what I've been trying to emphasize with the property owner is that, it hasn't looked the best there. It's been kind of torn up, and I'm happy to see this come in because we can get this cleaned up. Fred is committed to taking all the debris off, including the stumps that remain from those tree cuttings prior to the CO on this building. And what I had Don do to make sure now that we all understand, he's numbered the individual trees that are to be, they're proposing to remove. So we're all understanding what's staying and what's not.
So the property owner we're speaking of is
Fred.
Right, the one with the complaints, the one on the other side of the...
He's on the other side of the Nine-Imo. He's one of those first houses in that neighborhood there. Now, I have to say, in Fred's defense, he has been very good about clearing out the area where there was the equipment storage. That was, if you the board recalls, that was the primary problem with the last application. He got that cleaned out, and he hasn't been in there since, and it's starting to grow in again. And he did abandon that westerly driveway, too, and has been gated off, as per the site plan. So what he's proposing to do now is, and I kind of think it's actually a good idea, is he's splitting the driveway. The residential driveway will be exclusively used for residents, and the business driveway will be related to the business in terms of patrons to the new building and his employees. So they'll be separating those two types of traffic, which I kind of think is a good idea. The other big feature that will come of this, and I didn't ask for this, Fred offered this, was there will be no more equipment storage because this building is larger than the prior ones shown. So there'll be no more exterior storage of equipment. All equipment will be inside of the building and not outside. And then the fenced area, Fred, what's your proposed use for the fence now? You might keep some material out there, building materials and things of that nature?
Yeah.
But stuff, no equipment?
Stuff to be outside. All the equipment I'm going to want inside anyway, undercover, all my trucks, trailers.
So we'll just some building materials out there?
Yes.
But it will be behind the fence?
A few bottles of shingles.
Yeah.
2x4s, stuff like that, even lumber would probably be inside where the weather's not going to affect it too much. But
okay.
Mainly stuff that can be outside.
Okay.
Building products.
And when you came in, they came in to see me, like Don indicated, I had them put some coniferous trees along the westerly property edge there to they can grow in and provide more buffer to the residences to the west. And Don did go out and in the field that weekend and specifically number every tree that they proposed to remove. So we know down to the individual tree what goes, what stays.
Okay, so I'm not as concerned with the trees.
Well, I was just wanting to make sure that we had a...
All right, so I will say what my concern is. All right? And that is that we've moved the sewer to make for a separate driveway into the business. It may make all the practical sense in the world, but now we put the septic in front of the building and eliminated the no-cut area that was supposed to act as a buffer between... Now, before I say anything else, when we had this meeting a year ago, I argued against making you leave that there. Because in as much as it's residential across the street, you are in a commercial lot. So you have a right to have your business seen from the far side.
That's
right. But I just wanted to bring attention that we've done that. We've eliminated, I forget what we called it, proposed clearing limits.
Yes.
So is there any way, or do you have any plans, have anything planted between the road and that building that screens the building from the road?
Right there, John. I got it on there. Proposed landscaping and bushes in the front of the building, you know, nice landscape areas in the front of the building, which will make it look aesthetic and other than an aesthetic.
But that's different.
It's
a shrub. It's different.
Well,
so it's in front of the building, it's not.
Right.
I don't remember why we left that no cut zone. I think it was because there were homeowners that were upset they were going to have to look at business in a commercial zone. And because it was right there, commercial residential.
I checked the minutes in regard to the last meeting because when the complaint came in, and the no cut zone was exclusively along the west edge. There was no other reference to no cutting anywhere else on the lot.
All right, but there is on the map. Okay, you did see that, right?
Yeah. The limited clearing. Yep.
With buffer to be maintained. Okay. So I'm only bringing this up because that same person that's complaining about individual trees being cut was very adamant about that and got that on this map a year ago. I'm okay with it with the septic out front, and I think your building better look nice, and there should be shrubs in front of it, and people should be able to see your business in a commercial zone, which it is. And if you happen to own a residential home right next to a commercial zone, you should probably expect to see commercial activity going on in that commercial zone.
And I thought I'd be able to cross the street too, because it doesn't have any problem with credibility either.
So I don't want you to think I have a problem with it. I just wanted to point out that it's there.
No, I don't have any problems with my neighbors when we've got trucks and trailers over there. You never heard me say a word. Some man's got to make a living. I don't have any problem with that at all.
So as far as I'm concerned, I like the idea of having the driveway for the commercial activity closer to Route 9 because we already talked about having you make sure all trucks head to Route 9 instead of heading down to Route 32. That was in the minutes, if I remember correctly. But you don't plan on, it says right now on this new map, chain link fence, that's a see-through chain link security fence, right? You're not planning any kind of screening on that or anything like that.
As far as where you're at?
In the front.
No, I mean, I'm going to want to see the building. It's only there. It's only going to be
4 feet. Okay, that's all I just wanted to be sure on that.
They could likely look nicer without one there.
Yeah, the only,
So the way that the... Well, I'll ask that question. For the proposed new driveway, how will the traffic flow in and around the building?
By moving the building closer to the road, which we have plenty of room out back in the building.
Yeah.
Lock the turn tractor trailer around there.
all day long, but I don't get really tractor trailer any. I mean, I've been there a year, I've been running out of there. There's not been one tractor trailer in my driveway.
No, but you so, hope you get big enough, you need a tractor trailer.
If your customer pulls in here, do they swing around?
Oh, sure.
You're not coming in this way.
No.
No.
That's the thing. We're going to.
I don't want to go around. I understand.
Yeah, nothing to come in that driveway. But you got quite a bit of space between them parking spaces there. It'd be funny to face
it back. I'll deep park there, Danny. I'll deep park across there. Yeah. I'll give you an idea.
How much more of that? Yes.
I'll ask. Where the proposed driveway, there's no delineation of how the path is going. Like the one for the garage and house, there's a delineated path. There's no delineated path unless everything around that proposed showroom is all going to be
post crushed stone pretty much around the whole site right there.
There is an edge of the
crushed
stone area.
Got it.
But it'll feel like it's a large crushed stone area all the way around the building. It's a driving lane.
And you do have a dry well shown that you will be installing, right? You got a proposed dry well?
And that really, I think, is all you're going to need by looking at the ground over there. So, I mean, it's not a whole lot of water.
So I think Ron was getting at this, but I'll ask it again in a different way. Why do you have people entering from the west and then driving all the way around your whole parking lot to park on the east side of the building?
Don't tell that guy back there. He's already hit
it. Well, no.
You're right.
Should be on the other side.
We're not going to have them coming in on the west side.
He's talking about over here.
Yeah,
we'll come all the way around to the back. You're right.
Why not have the parking and the showroom on the other side of the building?
You're 100% correct, and that's the way it should
be. Well, we got to move the building over a little bit. Hopefully, have the room for the back out, stuff in there. But it wouldn't take much. I mean, you can shift it over just a little bit.
You could do that.
Absolutely.
When your whole showroom and everything is on the Route 9 side, not in here for the neighborhood,
that's what
makes it the property of the corner, is never going to be anything but a green space. Kind of a glowing green space.
That's right.
Green space.
You're right. When you were talking about that outside there, saying I don't think you guys would mind if you did switch that around.
I don't think that causes any problems.
No, I mean, the size of the building is there. Basically, the whole layout is there.
So, what you're doing is you're begging these people that they're going to come in your proposed driveway. They're going to park on it. They're going to back up and drive out for the This keeps it all over there. So, if you.
I agree with you. I hope to.
You can do that.
Do you want the driveways real close to each other?
Yes. I like the idea of the residents having a separate driveway from the commercial.
No, he's saying shift the building over and have the parking.
Move it over.
And then that also means you don't have customers driving out behind the building and around the big parking lot to get
your stuff right over
right
my
pull in, pull right back out again.
Yeah, we'll move this. We can put the showroom
so we can flip flop that.
It would be awesome to own that little strip that goes out to Route 9. Right in off of Route 9.
We're already talking about that. I don't know. We're going to figure out.
But if you do that, you still have your showroom and your parking on the right hand building.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
All right, so we're moving the building to the west.
To the west a little bit, enough so we can get down around and put the parking back out.
East, I'm sorry, east, east. We're moving to the east, okay? Yep.
Just the size of the parking spots and the flip-flopping the parking spots on the other side.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
Showroom will be on the opposite corner as it is now.
Yep.
That's a very good idea.
Okay.
Peter had a question.
The record should show that this is one of the few times the napkin is agreed to board.
And nobody yelled.
That's because I'm here.
Exactly. Fred, what size garage do you want to see your footies? What would be the height handy tonight already?
I'm going to be asking you to read it. I don't know that yet.
Would it be similar
to building comes with garage doors?
I will be putting garage doors in, but imagine it's going to be, so we get a pretty good sized truck back up the door.
So it'd be the size of the highway department garage doors?
I would say similar, yes. Commercial building, I'm going to want to get my truck in there with a sander on it. That's not going to fit in any normal door.
Don't you have a bucket truck with a bucket arm on it?
Yes, I do. I have a large lift. It's an action equipment right now. Yeah.
You're looking at 14-foot door.
85-foot, yeah. So there definitely going to be some big garage doors.
But they're going to be facing away from the roads.
Correct.
So they're out of sight, out of mind.
What colors are going to be, Fred?
I believe the building is red.
Okay.
What shade for it?
You couldn't get like purple to blend in with the scene.
All right.
Lighting. I may have missed it, but I'm not seeing it.
I'm
assuming there's lighting on the building?
Well, yeah, we got right there. I only put it on the sidewalk side of it there. There's a couple of lamps there. I guess you could have given the post office, you could put in a building, or you could put both, whichever you prefer to do there, I guess.
Which one it is.
Probably put it in the building, because it would be less expensive.
It would seem the great choice. I just wanted to know which one it was.
But
no other security lighting, the parking area out back?
Yeah, I got a couple of them out there by the employee park.
Where it says proposed lamppost?
Yeah, not there's one, two, three of them right there.
Okay, so what?
I can get away with two of these getting up there, but that's an extra one.
Okay, so it says note number two, typical. All right, and then the note number two talks about the lamppost, which I really don't care a whole lot about. I'm more interested in the light itself. What kind of lights are we talking about?
Well, I don't know what the standard, whatever.
The downcast type.
Have you been to a lighting store lately? There's no standard.
Well, I don't know.
We're talking about a downcast.
Yeah, downcast.
Glow light. Yeah. A spotlight.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
What we're looking for, Don, is that we want the light to shine downward and into your sight and not on other people's property.
Right. No, that would help. Okay. Definitely. Yeah, absolutely have to do that.
That's the answer you're looking for.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that would be it for sure.
The proposed sign.
We moved that over on that side since it's near the entrance now.
Monument sign? Ground based?
I'll go on the book whenever anybody needs it. I'm not particularly.
I'm just asking once again.
Didn't have anything special in mind, Jack. So whatever I'm not a lighting specialist or anything, but whatever I need to put there, I can do.
Nice looking one.
Jesus. Well, obviously, it's got to be a certain size.
They're aware they need a permit. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm more concerned with that. It's not going to be like a upcast light on it or something like that. I like this better than the original plan.
Yeah.
It makes more sense. It's more efficient.
We've been over enough times. And we still didn't get it right. Get the parking on the wrong side.
You
must have been looking in the mirror. You could have moved the driveway.
We can still get it around.
Could have moved the driveway and left the building where...
I like the idea where you said take the parking on that side, because that's the entrance side. Traffic's over there. It's even farther away from the guy that's complaining. It's farther away from my house, so I'm okay with that.
Mr. Mark.
Yes.
Could you please explain to me, on page 3 of your staff notes, you said the proposed amendment appears to be an improvement over the prior plan, and then you gave a recommendation.
The proposed amendment appears to be over the plan. It's recommended that an approving resolution include a condition that a certificate of occupancy for the new building be shown, be conditioned upon fulfillment of all improvements shown on plan. In other words, no CO until all site plan improvements are complete.
Do you understand what you meant?
Very well. Yeah, we talked about it.
Yep.
Because in the past we had timelines and we had, we wanted to see a certain deliverable by a certain date and that sort of thing. So what this says though is that you don't get a CO until
the site plan is complete, meaning the lights are out in the parking lot, the pole lights are up, your sign's up.
Trees are planted.
Trees are planted.
He's going to have
Well, that's, I just wanted to make sure that you knew what that,
well, we discussed a lot going into that.
Okay.
So,
so it might be our intent that this board does not have any control over the issuance of certificates of occupancy. I assume that the building department and or the building administrator would not issue a certificate of occupancy until everything on the site plan is completed. We don't have any authority on certificates of occupancy.
You would if it's a note. If it's a note on the site plan to that effect, then that would make it binding.
I'm just trying to avoid a slippery slope.
Okay. Just one more thing. As we're not proposing people using the home or residence driveway to gain access to the commercial enterprise, right?
Right.
Okay. I'm not going to go as far as to say shouldn't there be a fence there. But you have on your new map a proposed width of 20.
Yeah, we take that off. Yeah. Okay. And just notice that stuff like that.
And it might be nice to have a grass strip there.
Some,
you know,
kind of separation.
Some between the residential driveway and the parking.
I'm going to have it. Right.
You don't have a fence.
Right.
But, and I don't care if in the summertime you drive across the lawn to get in there, but it might make it easier for people to know, wait, that isn't the driveway.
Yeah.
I'll fix that too.
So grassed area along the driveway?
Yeah, eliminate the 20-foot width of the driveway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just forgot. I literally just
gave it. Gives you a little bit of privacy in your residence.
I had like rifle hours to get this done.
I was impressed you had the trees on there that you're cutting down.
Yeah, you're really good at those today.
Good.
I'm impressed he numbered them.
I know.
Well,
Could you describe what type of business you are in?
Roofing, window siding,
and home improvement.
Okay, we're a little late in that.
Well, see the updated site plan will be, I guess, a month.
Yeah, we can make the changes once you have
that. Just to change the map. There's no need to change that.
That's up to you, Board. Do you need a public hearing for these proposed changes?
It's not on Route 9. It's in commercial.
It is not a change in use.
But it's not a change in use, and it's not a major change in
it's
the plan.
Well, it's up to you guys whether you determine it to be major or not. That's up to you guys.
So,
we've already had a public hearing on this project.
Exactly, and I honestly think it's a small enough of a surprise it's in front of us.
I thought that. So,
well, it's a change. I have to.
I know, but I certainly don't think so. I think we can legitimately waive a public hearing.
I agree.
Any thoughts on your life?
Usually, you have any thoughts on the public hearing?
Yes, I have thoughts on everything.
I know. I'd like to hear them.
These changes and the modifications that have been done are minor in scope as to what has previously been proposed, to which the public had an opportunity to comment on, and this is really just tweaking of the initial submission. I don't know if it works. I know there's something here.
Do you feel I need to put that in the form of a motion?
Can we
deliberate about it and have a discussion that we did on the business here?
I don't want to pull Brad as chairman for this one time. So I have a motion.
I'll second.
Peter, that we felt that there was not a public hearing that was required. And do I have any further
discussion? Oh, the shape of it?
No.
There it is.
I'm okay. So all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. Okay, we will not have a public hearing for this proposed site.
Well, we need to approve the site.
Correct.
And you'll need to come back the changes and come back next month with the changes.
Yeah.
And then it should be good. If we approve it then
yeah,
we should go.
And there's no this season.
Or you can put
some
trash on gas lane.
Oh,
we'll show that down gas lane.
You got.
Well,
the note sure you show that downcast lighting in there.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me put the note.
You didn't have it on the note. I'm sorry. That was my mistake. I didn't read far enough.
It
didn't say downcast.
I got
that.
I got that.
I got five items.
See,
he
takes very good notes, Mr. Clinton. You should probably borrow them from him.
That's what I'll do.
Yes, you will be.
I'll get them.
Shifting the building to the east.
Yeah.
Parking to the west. downcast lights directed into the site, a compliant sign, and grassed area along the residential driveway. Oh, and I got six. And then the condition of no CO until all site plan items are complete.
Okay, just one comment on the grassed area. You have a hammerhead on that driveway?
Yes.
You do? The answer is yes. Okay. Okay. Feel free to leave that hammerhead attached to the gravel for your own access to your yard parking lot. Just the grass strip from that hammerhead on.
Oh, okay. You're right.
Okay? Yep. That way you can still access that way, but people coming in from the road say, yep, oh, I can't get there from there. Yep. Okay?
Yep. Okay.
So there's six items that I have.
Yep.
We're getting there. It's looking good. Make it happen.
Another title two will be good. We'll have it perfect.
No, we're going to make it happen.
That's it.
All right, we're going to make it commercial. Thanks. Don't make it look commercial.
Yeah. Thank you, fellas.
And thank you, guys. Nice.
Good to
see you.
Good to see you.
So, I don't want to sign
for I'll be in tomorrow morning. I'm in tomorrow morning.
Okay. Yeah, but will he be there tomorrow morning?
That's good. All right, he's talking. Yes.
Thanks,
Fred. Yep. Thanks, Fred.
Mr. Martin, I have a question from last month's meeting.
Yes.
Okay, before we close the meeting. Last month we had an application pulled because a different tenant was moving in instead of Learning Lab. I kind of expected the new tenant to be in our planning board meeting tonight.
I don't know if there's any real action on that. That was just hearsay.
I don't know how you move forward from this other than he did admit that the last tenant that was in there, he never came in front of the board.
Okay.
And it went from being a church to a light manufacturing.
Yep.
And then the only reason he was in front of us this time was because the health department required it to come in front of us or whatever. Somehow that triggered him ending up in front of us. My guess is he has a new tenant that can slip in under the wire and not
all right
come in front of us. So you might want to contact him and ask
yep
it is.
Yep.
That person, nothing changed there after he bought it. When he bought it, he knew that was an issue that he was going to have to come in front of us every time he rented it out or something.
So there was a change, every time there was a change in use, yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
Unless it's a church, it's a change of use. Because that's right. The only use that's been approved there, the last use that was approved there.
I'll call him tomorrow.
Thank you. That's all I have.
You want us to review this? You want this?
Oh, yeah. The other, I have that resolution there. It was in the packet about the code enforcement position. We talked about it last month. If you're interested in that, you can certainly take it. If you want to modify it, it's just for your review. If you want to consider it, fine. If you want to modify it, if you don't, that's all up to you. I told you I would do that, so I did.
Okay, let's wait. Peter, you missed. Did you see the resolution in front of you?
It's in your packet. It was in your information. I told you I'd do that, so it's there if you want it.
Remind me again on the board.
We're having compliance issues because of
the town board is, and the supervisor has committed to the idea of a half-time code enforcement officer position, but it's been slow in getting it off the ground, and there's every month we come here and there's questions from members
about
various levels of enforcement.
Yeah.
Right.
And this obviously would be very helpful in that regard. So at the end of the last meeting, if you recall, I said I would draft a resolution, you know, for your consideration if you want. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. I just said I would do it. It's there. So.
So this is a resolution to ask the town of Monroe to actually hire the person to enforce our code.
Well, to try and encourage it.
Yeah.
You know, it's meant to be positive and encouraging.
It's an ask. I didn't say demand. It's an ask, right? Ask them to please fill that position.
So you want me to read it into the record?
It's up to you guys. Whatever you want to do.
There is money in the budget for it this year. Right? There is money in the budget for the person.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact.
Yep.
And I'm in favor of this resolution, but does anybody else like to discuss it?
No, I'm all about it. We need code enforcement. And I don't think part-time's enough, but It's a start.
I think you'd be surprised the effect of 20 hours of dedicated time to local codes would have. It's a tough position to find. It is. It's.
And as soon as there is compliance comes up, automatic or voluntary compliance always comes up.
Because the guy, the peaceful living, didn't he put his trailers on before Mylar's on the side?
Yep.
I don't think so. Not to my knowledge.
So you don't need a motion for the chairman to do that?
They were there pretty quick. He said, I didn't be in there January. In December, those trailers were there.
First I heard out. I'll see.
He's got two trailers just sitting there. He got it dropped into him. He couldn't get there fast. They even pushed the left one back. Okay.
So what I think you're hearing is a good general consensus among the planning board that we move forward with this. What I can do is I can read this into the record.
Okay.
And then on behalf of the planning board, we can pull the board. Those relate to the notion, in this case, for the town of Moreau planning board, that we authorize review and approve application for site plan review, subdivision in certain circumstances, special use permits, whereas in the due of review and decision, the town or planning board oftentimes imposes conditions on the approval of these applications, where the town or planning board fully supports enforcement of these conditions and the related regulations under which approved land uses must operate and function. And whereas the town and rural planning board fully supports the town board's initiative to fill a local code enforcement position on a part-time basis. Therefore, be it resolved, town and rural planning board encourages town board to fill the referenced code enforcement position as early as convenience in the interest of ensuring that the conditions placed on approved applications are fully adhered to and that the zoning chapter of the Moreau Town Code is fully enforced. To this motion.
I gratefully second that motion.
Is that a motion?
To these conditions, I guess, by the motion.
So I
have a motion by Reed and a second by Peter. Do I have any further discussion? Mr. Could you call the roll, please?
Mr. Antis?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mr. Jensen?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, I shall confer. The motion carries. We'll go ahead and pass it along to
I'll make sure that gets passed along to the supervisor that he's aware of.
Okay. Thanks for drafting that up again for us.
I have one more question. In the possible application of
Yeah, I don't know why he's not here. You guys saw the exchange of emails?
Yeah.
And I thought he'd be here for sure. I don't know where he is.
I will make a prediction that next month he will be here and want approval the night
in the okay. Because he wants to close by January 1st or
whatever.
Can I talk to you off?
Yes. Yes.
I don't want to be rude.
Sorry.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn is second. Any further discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
See you guys on February 6th?
Yes. Yes.